in this time inside of you? You have to answer that question. Do you believe it? See, the Holy Spirit asked him that question. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He's given visions from God all through the book of Ezekiel. He's God's mouthpiece. He's God's voice. And guess what? Ezekiel is in captivity along with Israel. So don't tell me, because I've been there, don't tell me, Pastor Tom, I could never, give the word of the Lord in my work environment. I work for the state of New York. Okay? And I know this is on record. I work for the state of New York, and you've heard my story. I've walked in people's offices, they broke down and cried and said, I need Jesus. If I can do that in the state of New York, being employed, you can do that. I'm not asking you to go do things that you're going to get fired for. Don't twist my words. You hear the voice of the Lord and you go do what God's called you to do. Why? Because he's put it in you to do it. That's what this whole passage is about. I've done it many times. Many times. You can do it. So he's in captivity along with everybody else, and then God gives him this word. He's going, I got to give this word in captivity in Babylon, and they're all serving idols or doing this and they're doing that. Yeah. Why? Because I put it in you. You have it. We all have it. Verse 3 says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, what a great answer. Oh God, only you know. See, God speaks to him. Can these bones live? I speak to you today. Can your marriage live? Can your relationships live? Can your job live? Can the promises of God live? Can God's word over you live? Hallelujah. Can it? You have to answer that question. Can it live? What's buried in your valley? What's dead in your valley? What's barren in your valley? Don't miss the encounter with God. It's powerful, but it's not what we expect it to be, right? We don't want to go in the valley. We don't want to go in the valley of dry bones. We don't want to go in the valley of barrenness. We don't want to go in that valley. Look at Moses, everything he went through. Look at David. He's hiding in the caves. Look at Abraham. Oh, I'm going to send you to a land that you don't even know where you're going, but it's a promised land for you. Look at Joseph in prison, thrown in a pit. Look at Mary. You're going to have a child. And it's the Holy Spirit. What was that? That was an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Church, we need an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God. Ezekiel said, Lord, you know the answer to that question. Can these bones live? Do you know who holds your answers? There's another question. Do you know who holds your answers? We wait on people to tell us our answers when God is the one who's holding all the answers. Remember who took you to the valley in the encounter. The Holy Spirit took Ezekiel and gave him this vision. Remember who is speaking. Remember who's holding your hand. Who has the answers? Who's gone before you? Who has prepared the way? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God goes before us, who can be against us? In this encounter, there's things that we have to remember. Remember who took you there. Remember who's holding you there. Remember who's speaking to you there. Remember who has promised you there. But there's some valleys we have gone ourselves. The valley of negativity, the valley of sin, the valley of unforgiveness, it could be. The valley of, I'm going to do it my way, God. The valley of proud. The valley of disobedience. Okay, so what valley are you in? Are you in the valley that God has taken you to? Are you in the valley that you brought yourself to? Doesn't mean God can't get you out of there, but it's a whole different situation. God is taking us to a valley. Hallelujah. We're in the Mohawk Valley right now. God has brought us to the Mohawk Valley. God has taken us someplace, and He has a great thing for us. Number two is, out of this passage, He says, prophesy, speak the word of God. Then He said to me in verse 4, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He spoke and preached to the bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Okay, here's the key. I prophesied as I was, I want you to say it. Oh, a little bit louder. Commanded. When you speak, has the Lord commanded that? Or is that just something that you're frustrated with and you want to give your own opinion on? But He says, I'm doing this as I've commanded to do. Hallelujah. Commanded. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together. Bone to its bone. When God speaks, because God is life, when the Holy Spirit speaks, there will be a rattling. There will be a sound. Hallelujah. There will be a sound. There is power in the word of the Lord. It's the word of God that is alive and powerful. Not your word, not your neighbor's word, not the world's world. The world's word. It's powerful, God's word. What was Ezekiel to say? He said, hear the word of the Lord. God didn't tell Ezekiel, you see this hopeless situation, you see what's happening. God didn't say this. Now try to think of something, Ezekiel, and figure it out. He never said that. God's not going to tell you, you figure it out. God's going to give you the command, and He's going to tell you what you need through the Holy Spirit. Hear the word of the Lord, not the wisdom of man. I love James. I think it's James. I'm not sure what verse it is, but it talks about the wisdom of man, and they use the word demonic. Demonic. The wisdom of man is useless. That's what the verse in James says. It's no good. Hear the word of the Lord, not the wisdom of man, not going to a psychic, not reading a bunch of tarot cards, not playing with a Ouija board, not looking for your horoscope. Come on. That's what they were doing. That's why they're in captivity. That's what brings you into bondage. God says, hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. Hallelujah. The word is living and active. What more do we need? Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Wow. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Man does not have that. The King James says, quick and powerful. The NLT says, alive and powerful. The Word of the Lord. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Is it the word of the Lord? Because there's death and life in the tongue. The tongue is very powerful. If the tongue is powerful enough to bring life and death, why don't we speak the word of the Lord? It's powerful. It's life. The word of God is what people desperately need today. The valley was just bones until Ezekiel started to preach the word of the Lord. You may be in that valley. You may be in a hopeless situation. Your life may be dry bones everywhere. But the word of the Lord, and only the word of the Lord, can bring order to chaos. Only the word of the Lord. See, we try to mix a little Jesus and a little man's wisdom, or a little of Jesus and a little pride, a little of Jesus plus I know it all, a little of Jesus but I've got the education, a little of Jesus and I have my rights, so I'm going to tell you something. A little of Jesus. Bible doesn't say that. The word of the Lord will bring order to your chaos. I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy. He says, he charges Timothy with this. 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 4. He says, I charge you in the presence of God to what? Oh, give your own wisdom, Timothy. give what you think the world is trying to help you understand. Give a little of what the psychic said. No. Preach the word. See, God has made this very simple. Are you preaching the word of God? Because in that, it says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete what? Patience. Right? Some verses are love. No one's asking you to take your Bible when you go to work and say, you wretched sinner, you're all going to hell. Boom. I'm going to tell you the answer. No, preach the word with love. And then we go down to verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. That's where we are today, church. That's where we are. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. We know God's word will shatter, not hurt, not condemn, but it will shatter bondage. It will shatter chains. It will shatter, you know, the things that have confined you. And the third thing in this passage that we need to grab a hold of is the Holy Spirit gives us life. And as we read verses 8 through 10, and I looked and behold, there was sinews on them and flesh had come upon them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they what? They lived and stood on their feet and as an exceeding great army. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us life. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. See, you know, there was flesh, there were tendons, there was muscle, there was all this going on, but they were dead still. They were dead. You need the Holy Spirit to bring life to you. Ezekiel does exactly what God says. He calls for the four winds. In the Bible, the word winds, four winds, the number four in the Bible means creation, manifestation. Something is about to be created. Hallelujah. When you speak and when you prophesy and when you call the four winds, when you call on the Holy Spirit, creation happens. Don't be afraid of the winds, because in the wind is the answer. You're saying, oh, there's a great storm. There's a great wind. There's a great, a storm coming up, and we all want to run from the storm, but God is saying, in the storm, I'm going to create something good. Call it. Call the wind. Call it from the Holy Spirit. Breathe on it. That's what he's saying. Breathe on it. Even in your struggle, breathe on it. Because it's going to happen. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. That word breath means spirit. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep. And the Spirit, what? The breath, the wind of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground, and what? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe. You need the Holy Spirit to breathe into the people you're talking to. You need to prophesy the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives life. I love this passage because you can prophesy to make everything, the muscles, the tendons, and the bones, but they still had no life. They still couldn't walk. They still couldn't breathe. John 6:33 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. It's so important. When you find yourself in a hopeless situation, the answer is found in the Word of God when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and communicates it to the person. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. And the fourth thing, the last thing, Holy Spirit gives us victory. This doesn't give us life. See, there's a lot of Christians that are walking around with life. They're breathing. I can see you out there. I saw you walk in. Saw you moving around. So there is life in you. But how many of you have victory in your life? But here the Holy Spirit gives us victory. He just doesn't give us life. There's a lot of people in church all over this nation singing songs, but it's all in their head. Come on, you know this. If you've been in church for more than a couple days, couple months, we all come, we all do our thing, we all hear the message, we all hear the great worship, and we all got it up here in our minds. The Pharisees had all that. Think about it. The Pharisees had all that. They had religion. And guess what? And the devil has all that. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well, but even the demons believe that, but they shudder. Why do they shudder? How come demons, this cracks me up. Demons shudder about this verse, but how come we don't? Ooh. Come on, I'll be the first one to say it. There were many times I didn't shudder. Many times. The demons, why do they shudder? I'm going to tell you why they shudder. Sometimes they're more afraid than some people in church that go to church. See, the devil and the demons know Jesus Christ is real. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The devil knows he's defeated. The devil knows that. Why does he come to steal, kill, and destroy? If he wasn't defeated, he wouldn't try to kill you. He wouldn't try to destroy you. But he knows he's defeated. There's people in church that don't even know that the devil is defeated. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. The devil knows that. The demons shudder because they know that. The devil is not an atheist. He believes in God. That's why he's trying to kill you. He doesn't want you to have God. He's not an atheist. He knows it all in his head, but not in his heart. He hates the Lord, but he knows that he's real. That's why the demons shudder. Church, if we're not shuddering, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Verse 10. So I prophesied as commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. I love that. And they stood. They got life. And an exceedingly great army. It wasn't just, okay, I got the muscles and the tendons, and I got all this stuff, but I can't walk. Oh, now I can walk. Oh, now I have life. But it's not just that. Then he goes, an exceedingly great army. He's building his army through the church. That's you and I. He's just not raising us up to have life so we can go party, have a good time. He's saying, I'm giving you life to prophesy my word, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to cast out demons, evil spirits out of people. Come on, church. That's what we're called to do. God is raising up an army, the church, to do battle. God does battle. We battle, but we get the victory and God gets glorified. We do battle, but it is God's battle. And you say, Pastor, how can we battle as God's battle? Because it's God's battle because he has the battle plan. You don't. And we go to God and we say, oh, I understand now what I have to do when I go to work. Oh, I know what I have to do in this relationship or what I have to do in my marriage or what I have to do at my job. You know, there's a battle, but God goes, I'm going to give you the plan. You are going to be victorious, but God is going to be exalted. That's what this is all about. God is going before us. He's raising up dead bones, even in the church. Come on, even in the church. It's time for the church to rise up. He's given us the land. He's given us the brokenhearted. He's given us the lost. Verse 14, and I'm going to end with this so I could have one of the worship leaders come up. Verse 14, and I will put my spirit within you. Oh, thank God. God never just leaves you there. He doesn't just say, I created Pastor Tom, and now Pastor Tom, go figure it out for yourself. He says, no, I put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your land. See, here it is. He's bringing Israel. He's going to bring Israel back. God is going to bring Calvary Gospel back to where they should be. I'm going to prophesy this to you. You say, oh, you're going to prophesy? No, I'm just going to speak the word of the Lord. He's going to bring Calvary Gospel back to what he promised Calvary Gospel, period. He's going to bring us back. He's going to bring us back. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. This all happened. Why? An encounter with the Holy Spirit. Do you want an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Come on. We need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. 600 years later, the disciples were huddled in this little room together, scared. Their leader was gone. One of their leaders betrayed them. After 3 years of listening to Jesus teach, watching him heal, learning how to be more like him, this wasn't how it was supposed to end up. Our leader's gone. With Jesus gone and all of them just hiding out, waiting to see if they would be the next ones on the cross. Can these bones live, they probably said. Can these bones live? That is the question that they face. Can our community of believers, can we live? Can we come back from this? Can we live through this? Is there hope? Yes, there is hope. Church, there is hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for this church, Calvary Gospel. I'm just saying, he's got great things for this church. to take the land. We're not just going to stay in New York Mills. We're going to go and take the land when God tells us to. But he's raising up an army. Will you enlist in the army? Get ready. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit say, you know, you need to say to the Holy Spirit, will these bones live? What do you want me to do at Calvary? What do you want me to do to be a part of what you're doing? The disciples were probably like, is there hope? And, oh, I love how God answered them. Same way, with a wind and a fire, with words spoken and heard across all the languages. We know the verse, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. There was a rattling, there was a shaking, there was power, there was an earthquake, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The fire came, the wind came, the Holy Spirit came. Yes, these dry bones can live. Our leader has gone, but he left us with the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. He's left you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I got five of you. Come on. Are you ready? And then Peter, I can't read it all, but Peter's standing with the 11. After the Holy Spirit comes, oh, come on, Holy Spirit comes upon him, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And give ear to what? The prophecy, my words. For these people aren't drunk, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit. We're in the last days. Every day is the last day. Come on, church. All my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. It's prophecy, prophecy. Not trying to be spooky. It's just like, Lord, what do you want me to say? That's prophecy. Let me hear your voice, Holy Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We're living in these days right now, church. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make decisions. When God tells us he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. With you or without you. He's going to raise up an army. And I know this church is going to be with him. I know. It may take some time. May take some working, may take some stretching. Put yourself on the potter's wheel, who God is, the potter. Let him shape you. Let him form you. Let him create you into the vessel he wants to. The word which created the world out of nothing is the word that comes to us and creates faith out of nothing. At creation, he spoke, and it was. So now he speaks to us. We were dead in our sins and made alive. Our sinful dead bones are given life. His word gives life because Jesus is the word of life. When God calls a sin, it's a sin. I'm going to say that again. When God calls sin, it's a sin. You don't get to scratch out. You don't get to make up your own mind what sin is. And when he proclaims forgiveness, there's forgiveness. And when he gives life, there's life. And where he gives hope, there's hope. Right? Let's take a few seconds to digest this word. We're living in these times. Maybe God has taken this nation and put them in captivity. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying maybe. I don't speak on my opinions, but today I'll just say maybe our nation has been put in a place, not because God says, I'm taking you and putting you over here. We've done this to ourselves, okay? So if that's what's happening right now in this nation, you ask God to give you a vision. Lord, give me the word of the Lord wherever I am. And God has promised us he will take us out of it. That's the word that we've got to start prophesying. Stop being discouraged. Stop being this, like, everything is devastating. And, oh, it is getting worse. Look at Israel. But Israel, God said, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to give you the land that I promised. He's going to give Calvary Gospel the land that he had promised Calvary Gospel from day one. I'll prophesy that because that's the word of the Lord. Come on. He has to. He promised. Even if there's two of us, he's going to keep his promise. But I know there'll be 200 to 400 to 500 of us. I'll prophesy that. Because God is faithful to his promise. I'm only here as your pastor because of the one day that I said, or God said, maybe we both said it, Tom, do you think your dry bones can live? And when I felt that touch, I knew my dry bones could live. Come on. Come on. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Powerful word that you've given us. Powerful word. Powerful word that brings us out of hopelessness into life. Because that's who you are. You're not this condemning God that says, oh, I'm going to push you farther, farther, farther down. This is a God that says, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. And what I take out of you, like in your heart, I will replace it. I will never leave an empty hole. Never. But there's things that we have to do. We think this God, well, you're God, you just fix it. God says, no, I'm God, and I'm going to fix it. But I'm going to fix it through you. You're my vessel. You're on earth. And I'm going to allow my Holy Spirit to come into you. I'm going to allow my Holy Spirit to come into this church. And I'm going to allow my Holy Spirit to move in Calvary Gospel, move in this church, move in these people, because I have promised this church something. And we are going to get back, and we are going to go after the land and the people that God has promised us. We're going to come out. We're not in captivity, but we may be in a place of just like, well, I'm just waiting to go home. God says, don't wait to go home. You need to wait on me for my promise. I've got things to do in this city and for you. And it's going to happen from 2 to 4 to 20 to 150 to 200. To 350, to 400. You got to see the vision. There's dry bones in this city. Come on. There's thousands upon 10,000s. God can't give us 500? He can't give us another campus so that we can preach the gospel? He can't give us two campuses, three campuses. We can't fit 500 in here. God says, I'll provide. But do you want 500? How many do you want? Here's the question. Can these dry bones live? Can I give you 500 people? Lost souls. I'm not talking about just Christians, filling church, relocating. I'm talking about, wait a minute, I created this world. I can't give you 500 lost souls that I love? Yes, sir. I think he can. That's exciting to know. That's exciting to live in those times. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hang in there. I just want to thank you, Dina. I want to call up Kirill and Ange. This is what God is doing. He's raising a church. He's raising a church. These two beautiful couple have gotten engaged, and we're going to pray over them. So families that want to come up at this time, and we're going to pray over them. Pastor Oleg, Richard, come on. Come on. Richard and Debbie, come on up. We're going to take some time, and we're going to pray over this couple. They're both leaders. In our church, Angie does an awesome job on the worship team, worshiping, and Kirill leads our. Ecclesia, and leaders in the church. Come on, family. Whoever wants to come up as family, come on up. We're gonna pray for this beautiful couple, and then we're gonna close. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. If anybody else wants to come up, you can. I know that you got a lot of brothers, sisters, anybody. Come on, dude, don't be bashful. You can come up. Hallelujah. Let's just stretch out our hands. And again, we're just coming together as a church, as they come together as a family. And so you want to pray? Would you like to pray? Go ahead.
Благословено Твое имя. Мы благодарны Тебе, Отец, что Ты приобрел нас для Себя, в Свое дело, для Твоей славы. Мы поклоняемся Тебе, мы превозносим Тебя. Я благодарен Тебе за мое наследие, за деток моих, которых Ты дал мне, Господь. Я благословляю их именем Твоим, Анжелку и Кириллка, которых Ты даешь для нас, для того, чтобы мы их несли к Тебе на руках молитвы постоянно. Поэтому я благословляю Твое святое имя, благодарю Тебя за добрые дни, что мы можем слышать сегодня эти чудные, дивные благословения, принимать их, Господь, сердцем своим и жить, Господь, для Тебя и для Твоей славы. Мы благословляем деток наших именем Твоим, да будут они благословены во всем, успешны. Благослови их, Господи, к дню их бракосочетания, чтобы они были чисты пред Тобою, чтобы Ты, Господь, принимал их как Твои сосуды для Твоей славы, для Твоего труда. Аминь.
Аллилуйя.
Lord God, thank you for my brother and for Angela. Lord, I'm just praying over them, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that they would be, God, one, Lord, when they get married, God, and that they would the purpose of God would be over their life, God, that they would glorify you in their life, God, that this wouldn't just be, Lord, and we know it won't be just a family that's raising them up and here we live and here this is what we do, but God, but there's a greater purpose to us who are called in Christ Jesus, God, all of us, not just this family, God, but our families here in the church, God, that we would recognize and realize the call of God for us to display your glory, to display, God, who you are, God, to honor you in our lives and to live for you, God. And I pray, God, that prayer and the word of God, Lord, would be over them. And we know that, God, they serve you. And we thank you, God. And so we bless them, Lord, as they walk together, God, as they've decided, Lord, to become one, Lord. And we know that this, Lord, represents who you are, God, in your church. And so we thank you, God, and we praise you. And we bless them in the name of Jesus, God, that they would do your work, God, and be blessed, God, to recognize what is your call and what is your work for them. We thank you for them, and we lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we ask right now you would breathe the breath, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, upon this couple. God, you have brought this couple together. You have arranged this. You have created this. And where there's creation, there is life. Hallelujah. Oh, we bring it in from the four winds. Hallelujah. We breathe the breath of the Holy Spirit upon this relationship, this couple. God, that you would give them favor in everything that they touch. God, that they would walk with you, talk with you, communicate with you, live for you. Be the example of what it is to have a couple created by God. God, that they would model what it is in their marriage. God, what it is to be united and for people to see what the real marriages, a covenant that God created. They would mirror that. They would be an example of that. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. God, as they minister even to each other, Lord, in this time, draw them closer to you. Yes. And as you draw them closer to you, they will draw closer to each other. Hallelujah. We can't miss that. I just leave that with you, Krill and Ange, that God is at the head, God is at the top, and you guys are kind of like a triangle, and each one is at the bottom, and as you continue to go for each other and love each other, you're going up to God, you're loving God first. God is the center of all this. And as you climb that ladder and that relationship with God, it will draw you even closer and closer to each other. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Lord, we know that how they minister in our church. God, continue to bless them in that. Continue, we command like this growth in each one of them, that you would reveal yourself even more in a special way to this couple. God, that they would, where their foots tread, they would tread on the enemy, and they also would tread on areas of the lost. And that this couple would bring life to the loss. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to close in prayer, and a family can come up and congratulate them. But we're just going to close so people can go if they want. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Hallelujah. God, thank you for all that you're doing. And God, we ask that we would let this word penetrate our hearts, not just our minds, our hearts, and to walk in this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Family can come up.